another thing that interested me in the French Open. Mm. Did you see about Miyu Kato, Miyu Kato being
in she was disqualified in the women's doubles for hitting a ball girl. It was by accident, but because they claim because she cried for longer than a minute, they had to disqualify her and her partner, and they lost all their prize money and all their points. But she wasn't actually hurt or anything, and they all agreed it was an accident. And there was no ill will or dangerous intent behind it, because that's the rule is very vague. I think you're just not allowed to hit the ball and it hit another person or anyone in the court or in the crowd. We're not allowed to hit the ball out of the court either in anger, because you get a code violation for that. But if you hit anyone, it's a disqualification if it's deemed to be with intent, which I don't think it was. So it was quite unjust. And there was quite an outcry over it on Twitter and all the other social media platforms. And rather pleasingly, Kato went on to win in the mixed doubles with her partner, whose name I have forgotten, which is terrible, but he was absolutely lovely and stood up for her and sort of spoke for her when she was too upset to speak. And she used her victory speech to complain again about the fact that she was disqualified. Every time anyone spoke to her, she just talked about how unjust it was and how they were going to appeal to try and get the prize money and the points back. But unfortunately, I believe the appeal has failed for the reason I explained, because the ball girl was crying for such a long period of time, which is a very odd reason, if you ask me. But it was not a nice moment. But again, that's where the rules of tennis are so, some of them are so old, and you're just like, why are these even rules? Like, they don't make any sense.
She reported that she was told, so play continued. She got a warning and then play continued.
Yeah.
And then the girl kept on crying.
Yeah.
And it was like 15 minutes. And then the umpire came to them and apparently said, oh, if she wasn't still crying, we could carry on.
Yeah.
If it had hit her arm or a leg, we could have carried on. And if it had been a boy, we could have carried on.
Hmm.
So at every single point, it's going, just accidents happen. An accident happened. Someone was upset. And then putting the blame on the little girl.
Yeah.
Going, oh, she keeps on crying, so I'm going to have to stop it.
We're going to have to do something about it, or they'll complain. For the ball kid, it's like it's just so it's not great. I don't think she was hurt. I think she said she's fine. She was just in shock at what happened, and Kato was in shock as well. They're all crying. It was just pretty awful, really. I think I was talking about another weird rule in tennis the other day with someone about how old it was, and it didn't make any sense, but I've forgotten now. It'll come back to me. I'm sure we'll discuss it at some point. But yes, and now, of course, we're less than a week away from the start of Wimbledon, perhaps the most well-known and best Grand Slam, or at least I like to think so, on grass. And some interesting developments I have here on my Wimbledon app, and I will read them out to you, Matt, because I'm sure you're dying to know. On Monday of this week, at 35 minutes past one in the afternoon, Wimbledon announced that it will be launching on Fortnite. Yes, you heard right. On the game Fortnite. So I'm going to read you their little press release here. And you'll love all the corporate jargon, I'm sure. Wimbledon announces an array of digital experiences to reward its current fans and attract new ones, including launching on Fortnite and a rebrand of its gamified tennis experience, Wimbledon Smash, set on the grounds of virtual SW19. So it's announced entry to an online gaming platform, Fortnite, with the launch of Race to Wimbledon. So this, I guess, is like a Is it like a DLC? Is that what happens with Fortnite? I don't play Fortnite, so I
just
don't know.
Skins, I think.
But skins. Okay, skins, yeah. So, and then there's also a Roblox experience, R-O-B-L-O-X experience, Wimble World, and a new gamified tennis app, Wimbledon Smash, plus a collaboration with leading mobile game Tennis Clash. And of course, we know from our pod that mobile games are actually the biggest slice of the pie when it comes to gaming audiences within like the gaming industry. The biggest audience are mobile gamers. Console gamers and PC gamers make up a much smaller percentage, which is interesting to consider. So in the Fortnite bit, the race to Wimbledon, which is presented in partnership with American Express, we'll run, drive, parkour, and fly past London landmarks, including Big Ben, London Eye, and through Wimbledon Village, past Andy Murray's golden letterbox, which is interesting in itself because I would have thought that'd be in Dunblane. But navigating around larger-than-life obstacles such as giant strawberries and tennis rackets to make it to Wimbledon Centre Court in the fastest time. As well as on the usual devices, Race to Wimbledon will be available to play on-site throughout the championships at the American Express Fan Experience in the Southern Village. And Andy Murray has posted his time to social media, and you get the chance to try and beat it, apparently. Entry into Fortnite is part of Wimbledon's ongoing expansion into the digital sphere, evolving the heritage brand beyond traditional expectations. Chris Clements, digital products lead at the All England Club, said, "The magic of Wimbledon has reached many generations of fans in every corner of the world. With changes in the way people consume content and interact with sports events, it is important we find new ways to reach them and convey what makes Wimbledon so special. We believe this range of initiatives, including Race to Wimbledon, will help us achieve this ambition." Any thoughts so far, Matt? There's more to come, but I can pause if you have any thoughts.
We think we can make a lot more money from this.
Yes.
We want to make a lot, even more money for this. So that's all the
hard. Gaming is popular. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Yes. So there's Wimbleworld, the metaverse platform. It's a metaverse platform, Roblox, receiving more than 12 million visits last year. More than 80% of users were aged under 24, which is, again, quite interesting. So building on the success, new additions to excite players on Wimbleworld will be rolled out from Tuesday, 27th of June onwards. These include the Lawn of Champions, where players can try their hand at preparing the famous grass courts by mowing and painting the lines. There's also a treasure hunt where players can earn a hawk to sit on their shoulder of the avatar across Roblox experiences. Live scores will feature in the experience, a first for Roblox. And then it goes on to talk about Wimbledon Smash, which is the one where there's like a little platform on the bottom and a ball and then bricks along the top half, and you're like smashing the bricks like this with the ball. You know those kind of
Those kinds of games, yeah.
It's like that, basically. That's what it is. And you can try and get a high score. And if you get in the top 10 on the leaderboard, you can get semi-final tickets or items for the Wimbledon shop. So, and the leaderboard will be displayed across Wimbledon as well. So it's really encouraging people to get involved when they visit, which is interesting. And also Tennis Clash, the world's most popular tennis mobile gaming app, apparently. Players will be dressed in special white match kit and be able to take to the famous grass of Centre Court. And then there's a final bit of chat from Usama Al-Kassab, I hope I pronounced that correctly, marketing and commercial director at the All England Club, who says the scale of Fortnite and Roblox, with more than 200 million players each, and the enjoyment these players experience through digital initiatives like Race to Wimbledon and Wimbleworld will help Wimbledon reach new audiences in ever more immersive ways than ever before. That's the end of the article.
Yeah, it reminds me of the Christopher Nolan again. And this is corporate progress and corporate new stuff. Oh, look at this exciting new trail we're blazing. Whereas what really matters is what is the how much are you paying all the employees that work there?
Yeah.
What contracts are they on? What benefits do they get? How are you making this the most socially progressive tournament ever? Because social progressiveness, that is where it needs bold and revolutionary ideas.
Mm.
Making more money and selling it as like, this is progress, is that's what they all do.
Mm.
And
yeah,
it's going, yeah, you can have all this stuff, this is good, but it's not a substitute. We could, I'm sure most people would rather not have that and have no violence against women or misogyny or exploitation, but that's boring and it's not about making money, that thing.
No.
And so yeah, not surprising, but still frustrating.
Yeah, first and foremost, it's a big money maker, isn't it? All the corporates have gone, what's popular, what can make us money, what can draw in the young people, the people under 24, games. Oh yes, let's do more of those. And have it sponsored by American Express. Yes, let's do that. I mean, I'll be happy to experience as much of it as I can when I go this year, and I'll report back for you, see if I can find any interesting tidbits out. But yeah, it's just interesting to see how it's developed. I did notice, because I love to research everything, even though I've been so many times before, they've included a lot more stuff for kids this year than I've ever seen previously. They've got little animated called Blade and Bounce, which is very cute. They have little YouTube animations, and apparently they're going to be there for the kids this year, which is something I've never seen before. And they've got activities and trails and stuff, which I'm not sure they've ever had before. So I think they're trying to just make the experience a little more less about the tennis, I guess, for some people who are coming. I don't know. I mean, yeah, children under 5 aren't allowed on the show course, as a rule. But yeah, I guess they're just trying to plug the gaps, I think would be the phrase there. But yeah, if I find out any other interesting bits and pieces, of course I'll be the one to talk about it when I come back after the fortnight, I expect. Is there anything else Wimbledon or tennis related that you'd like to discuss for the episode, Matt?
Yeah, two things.
Of course.
The non-white rule.
Mm. It has changed. Women are allowed to wear coloured knickers now. About time. Yes.
So it's a step forward, because...
Yes.
Because whether it's white clothing or not, that doesn't matter. It's just a bullshit thing that is tradition. That doesn't matter. From Daria Seville saying that she had to take her skip periods when they play. That should be the last thing you need to think about.
It's just not on, is it? It's actually quite dangerous for the health of those women. Well, sports women are actually at higher risk of developing problems with their menstrual cycles, because they do naturally just stop having periods because of the way that they train and work as professional sports people. But having to do that as well, making yourself skip periods, is not a good idea, is it, really? I mean, I could talk about that more, but it's just not really, it's not safe, I don't think.
The impact that puberty has on female athletes generally is that you don't know what shape you're going to come out.
Exactly, yeah.
After
if you're in the days, if you have to play a match on like the days before your period is going to be way harder. Or even when you're on your period, obviously, if you have a rough period, like, it's going to be way harder than when you're not, you know. And I don't think it's talked about enough as a not an excuse for losing, but like, it's not accommodated enough within the game. It's not acknowledged or accommodated as much as it should be. I mean, when you think about other countries having period leave and things, and you're like, well, why isn't that more widely? Why isn't that a thing? You know? I don't know.
Yeah, that's just another area of the patriarchy that says that periods are gross and disgusting and shameful.
Okay. Yeah.
That we could be another area where we're not as bold as we need to be. And one last thing, you see the Federer and Kate Middleton.
I did, yes. And that's clearly all for show. I had feelings about it, let's say that. It was to try and talk about the ball kits and the training they go through, but it was clearly just, let's plaster these two very famous people on it. And isn't it great that they're like tennis royalty and actual royalty? And look at how well connected they are with Wimbledon and how lovely it all is. Yes, it's very much, I'm not going to say propaganda because I love Wimbledon generally, but it is essentially pushing forward a narrative that Wimbledon want to push, which is that it's the best place in the world, which it does a very good job of pushing. But yeah, there's certain elements to that which paint it as something which might not always be the case, let's say. It's not the experience of everyone, I don't think.
Yeah,
it's not like this ideal. It's, you know, I mean, it's the way it's shot and everything as well. But yeah, you're going to say, Matt.
Yeah, it's the branding of Wimbledon says we are the quintessential British experience.
Yes.
And the fact that monarchy is propaganda and monarchy.
Well, she's a patron of Wimbledon, isn't she?
Yeah.
Catherine. So
you can patronize whatever you want when you've got hundreds of millions of taxpayer pounds.
Yes.
And so that there's that element of it. And it always reminds me of I'm gonna try and share a picture.
Of course. Do you need me to do anything? Bear with us, listeners and viewers.
Okay, so.
Oh, I've got it here. Yeah.
Yeah. So, do you know who the guy on the left is?
I do indeed. Yes. That's Keir Starmer, isn't it?
Yes. And do you know where he's sat?
In the royal box.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, He's not Mr. Keir Starmer, like I would be. He is Sir Keir Starmer, KG,
of course.
KGB, KBE.
Study on.
KBE. And look at his face.
Mm.
That is the most joyful thing he's ever experienced in his life.
Mm.
And that was the moment where I was, we're fucked. Politics is fucked for a long time because we've got, this was at the time when he was being shredded for disavowing everything that he promised he was going to do when he was running for leader. And all the Labour progressive people were going, what the fuck are you doing? Stop fucking around like this. And so he was looking more and more uncomfortable. And then you see a picture of him sat there, Sir Keir Starmer, KBE, sat in the royal box at Wimbledon. And you go, well, that's everything that's wrong with everything. Because you think, I can't believe this is another thing that hasn't struck me forever, that we're a kingdom. I'm still reeling from the fact that, we're still a kingdom.
Yeah.
And you think, that's just naming. But he's the leader of the opposition, and a knight, a KBE means Knight of the British Empire. Mm-hmm. So in order to have that and a royal box, it's just completely broken. And
yeah, well, tennis is very elitist. I think everyone knows it's a very elitist sport, and there's no getting away from that. And I think that there's a lot of work to do to move away from that. And I don't know if it ever will, not at Wimbledon, because that's what Wimbledon is about. For a lot of people, it's kind of synonymous with elite people and the elite of the country all coming and sitting in the royal box and having their lovely champagne and their posh lunches also, because they also have posh lunches. There are places in Wimbledon where the likes of you and I cannot go unless we're dressed a certain way, because those are the rules. And until that changes, I don't think, well, tennis has many problems. Well, I wanted to talk about also, it's Pride Month, and tennis, particularly on the men's tour, is not, there's no openly gay male tennis players that I know of. There are openly gay women's tennis players, but as far as I know, they've all come out after they retired. And most of them played in the 60s, and 70s and 80s. So that's a big problem with the sport as well. And during Queen's, the grass tournament that's just on last week, they had the Pride Day on Thursday of the week, where they had the umpire's chair was all in rainbow flag colours. They had a rainbow flag flying. It was all quite visible on the television. And having listened to the tennis podcast, apparently there were rainbow laces and rainbow lanyard being handed out for all the media. And these were also available for the players, but none of them took up the opportunity to support Pride in that way, which was disappointing to hear that the players didn't, either they weren't told or none of them took it upon themselves to support Pride in that way, which was, it's just quite disappointing really. And I know that's been a problem for years and years, that no one feels safe to openly come out as queer.
Yeah, I think
in the tennis world. Yeah.
I've got I didn't realise I had so much to say on that topic until I started thinking about it today.
Right.
So
we can do another episode, can't we?
Yeah, we can. So I think I think because I've got some really interesting areas. The one thing a blanket statement of like why that is, why people don't come out as openly anything, is that there are countries where you won't be allowed.
Yeah.
There are countries like, I was looking through the list of tour.
Yeah, where the tournaments take place and things as well. There are dangerous countries, aren't there?
It's mainly the Middle East.
Yeah.
But thinking, oh, there are only a handful at the moment. I think it was Alvarez, and we spoke to people talk about this more at another time, but saying that he can see, he thinks it'll be inevitable that there'll be more tournaments in Saudi Arabia.
Yes, that was what I was going to bring up as another topic as well to talk about next time, is the spread of the Saudis in taking over the sports world, and sports washing is a topic I'd love to talk with you about. We can see it's happened with golf. It's happening with wrestling, as my partner has informed me. It's happening with a lot of sports, and all it's doing is trying to or at least the Saudis are hoping it can sanitize what's happening in Saudi Arabia and make it go away, which is not a good thing and not something that I want to happen to tennis, but is probably likely to happen because they are trying to buy the World Tour Finals, which is the final tournament of the year where the top eight players play on the men's and women's sides. But we will talk about that in another episode, I'm sure. And likely there'll be more developments because those questions were being asked at the end of the tournament last week, given the rumours that were swirling around. And unfortunately, some of the players didn't give their best answers, as was evidenced by Alcaraz, who said that he could see that they had a lot of money and that they probably would have a lot of tournaments there and that he would play them, which was not a good answer. Mm. But he's only 20, so there's time for him to learn, one would hope. But yes, there's plenty more we can talk about, lots of food for thought, and I'm sure many other stories that will hopefully not be rubbish breaking over the next few weeks during Wimbledon as well. So you can look forward to those tennis-themed episodes to come. We have a subsection of the podcast now. Well, thank you, Matt. I've enjoyed our discussion. And if any of you listening or watching have any thoughts, please do share them with us. Give us a like, give us a comment, give us a share. Rate us on Spotify or wherever else you listen to your podcasts. And we do have live content for you every Thursday. As Jim might have mentioned recently, we are taking a break in July, but we will be back in August and in September. Most excitingly, we'll be heading to Cardiff for the Anime and Gaming Con, I hope I've got that right, on the 9th of September, 8th of September, the weekend, the first, second weekend in September. Let me have a look. Yes, the 9th, Saturday the 9th, we will be having a lovely panel there. It'll be me, Matt, Jem and Caroline, the original Fab Four of the Gaming the System podcast. We'll be talking gaming and feminism and chatting all the things you love to hear. So if you're near Cardiff or that way inclined, please do pop by and let us know. We look forward to it very much and we'll see you next time. Thank you very much. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed that episode of Gaming the System. If you want to support us, you can donate to us through our PayPal by sending it to wearegamingthesystem@gmail.com. If you want to send us a one-off donation, if you want to donate to us monthly, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/gamingthesystem. Until next time, bye-bye.